grant money, or wouldn't be used as grant money, it would be used as distributed under the formula. So I'd have to look up how cities and counties are done. I used to know all that, but it's
a formula. Population. So for us, Branson and Taney County, that's not great because we have all the visitors that use the roads and pump a lot of fuel. So we sell way, way, way more motor fuel than we get our share of motor fuel tax. But it'll be under that same formula, so there'll just be more money available under that formula than there is currently.
And the other thing is, honestly, I don't know if the state is using the most current census or not. The last time I dealt with local programs grants, they were still using the 2000 census.
Oh.
So.
That might be something that I'll have to do some homework on. That doesn't sound good to me at all.
Yeah.
Just means the 2020 census is even more important now.
Yeah. Eventually. But then I don't know how long it takes for the state to actually start using those numbers. So
right now, I'm not sure what numbers the state uses on anything because they're really struggling on returning tax dollars back to the local jurisdictions. That's
I've heard several counties mention that.
So at any rate, and there's a piece of this, and I'm a little confused because at first there was a question whether the governor had to sign this or not. So the legislature took some action to make it governor-proof, I believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen a talking point on that. I don't know whether it went the constitutional route or there was two routes you could go.
The one that finally passed was the governor-proof one because obviously the governor and the legislature are going to be at odds here in the next few days. So for our current.
I know that various outlets have interviewed various legislators, and all of them have kind of been on talking point that they got several things done this year because they didn't have to get the governor involved. So they must have gone that route with several pieces of legislation because they keep saying that. So
the confusing part was this one was tied to the name of the act. The bill was like Olympic Freedom Tax Relief Act or something because it's tied to not paying taxes on your
Olympic
medal.
I don't know if you've looked at the ballot language, but the ballot language is kind of squirrely. I'm hoping it doesn't make people think that it doesn't pass the sniff test, if nothing else, because I'd rather they just decided based on, it's going to be hard enough to just, you know, to convince them to pass the tax, but to throw in little things with it and get it confused, I'm hoping that will hurt things.
Maybe the issue that they did was by passing it through the legislature, I think maybe the governor's part was that they didn't want him to put it on a inappropriate tax cycle. Some of you know that the governor will put something on with gay rights, for example, that draws out a certain population that would vote against things that he's against. So that'll do some things like that. And if the legislature put it actually on the November ballot, he couldn't choose which ballot to put it on. I think that's the governor-proof part is what they voted on. Originally, it came out as a 17-cent increase for $400 million, and that went through a long ways in the Senate. And then when it worked in a joint committee and it became a joint bill, then it went to 10 cents, and then it went to a date certain for the election. So I think that was the whole give and take of all of this. And again, MoDOT's been the recipient of some pretty oblique language on these ballot initiatives, which doesn't help us get funding in the long run. So this is going to have to take some education between now and November once we get some talking points out.
Like I said, when it is, originally they had talked about putting forth a vote that would involve approximately the same amount of money, but would remove the highway patrol from the state road fund altogether and create a sales tax to support the highway patrol. That was the original discussion. And good or bad, it probably would have been a cleaner discussion with bundling it in and basically keeping everything still in the road fund and keeping it as a gas tax. It's going to read that it's for highway safety, highway patrol, but everybody's going to say, well, it's a gas tax, so so I'm, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a challenge to get the messaging right, and of course, we're going to be looking to our private partners on that since we can't campaign, but yeah, I am worried about messaging, because I don't want...
One of the things that we're at risk of is people think that you're moving over to the highway patrol, so that you're making it popular to support law enforcement, when it's really, as everybody knows, a way to fund state transportation. And there's a risk in that. Because you always have this X percentage that's going to vote no on any tax. So you have them, and then what you have is the wild card of whether or not this is believable and sound policy. And there's two types of these things that are in trouble. And this one hasn't, I don't know that the ballot language is out. And the only other kiss of death that this could have is that you have to vote yes to mean no, and you have to vote no to mean yes. They tack that on this. Kiss it goodbye, because between saying we're going to fund the highway patrol and you do some tricky words, that's not going to be received well again. So we'll have to see how that goes.
The language I saw looked like it was pretty straightforward, but that.
Well, hopefully that, you know, if you've seen final. That, then maybe we're not going to face.
No, the final version. So, and the. What you call the language behind, like, because this would be a constitutional change because of the fact that the funding is in the Constitution, which is the funding formula. So that language is very long, several pages, but obviously the ballot language is fairly short. So we should prefer it to be a little cleaner, just so it would make it easier for everybody to know what they were voting on. But we got what we got, and it's more than we thought we'd get, so we really didn't think anything was going to happen on the last day, so we had high hopes for the week, but we were shocked when it came through on the last day.
I had a couple people off that topic ask me about 116M, all the survey states and stuff along there. Are you guys doing something along that, or?
If we are, I'm not aware of it. I mean, we don't have any projects planned unless it would just be something
simple. States
pretty
much foresight all the way to 65. Cross states, benchmarks, and different things. I don't know if they need more, but we're trying to put something together now.
I will look into it. It could be that we are doing some very, very preliminary type aerial type stuff, but there's nothing in the STIP or nothing in the draft STIP that we're going through there. So. We did a highway safety study of F to 160, well, maybe just that. But we took it through 162, basically about H. But there's no funding beyond that. We studied it and basically came to the same conclusions that we have for years, that there's certain curves and hills that cause issues and people overdrive it. And if we had a lot of funding, we would probably do some realignment. If we don't have a lot of funding, so we will probably try to do some of the things that we've already done on 160, which is high friction surface treatment and things like that, to try to keep people on the road and make it a little bit more forgiving for overdriving the road. But I'm not aware of anything, but I will ask, because I didn't see anything out there. I've seen some stakes in other locations today, but I knew what they were, so we had to mow around some stakes for chip sealing and some overlay stakes.
Thank you, ma'am. Before we get too far, I'd seen, been in communication with them and Travis there, doing some geometric improvements on Dale Drive to get that elevation above the flood pool. For a resident who lives on Poverty Point, whenever it gets above 932-ish, there's 110
homes.
They don't have emergency services or a way home. So anyway, there has been temporary construction road put in there for emergency bypass, but this would be a much better solution. So we're looking forward to that project moving forward in District 1.
Where's the over at?
Bear Mountain Overlook, the State Park entrance.
Yeah.
The first one to the east of State Park entrance is Dale. and that just goes down through there. When you get down by the boat ramp, the boat ramp is old Highway 86, so it's at the old highway elevation and goes underwater.
It's just a small section right on the curve.
Yeah, it's a block, half a block long.
It's all the way up to the raise. So.
But that will be significant plus there.
Okay, nothing else. Next, I have regional transportation updates.
So, yeah, I've got a minute to talk your needs list with me. We are preparing for our July Transportation Advisory Committee meeting. So our July TAC meeting, July 18th, is our regional prioritization meeting for our road and bridge teams. So that will be the meeting where our 20 TAC members will prioritize our top 10 road and bridge needs for the entire 10 county region. And I brought the list I had for you guys. And I also went ahead and brought copies of the district-wide list. And so just in case you're not familiar, there's a staple copy and a non-staple copy. But essentially what the regional transportation needs process for the rural parts of Missouri is that it's grassroots up approach. So we come out to each county, we talk to the other counties, what are your county priorities? We take your top three road and bridge needs, your top two bike pedestrian needs, and this year we are going to go ahead and include some multimodal needs. So if you had some freight or aviation items in there that you wanted to have a, kind of make sure they were on the radar for everybody, we were going to go ahead and include those this year as well. And what we do is we take those needs for every county. We have 10 counties. We take those to the Transportation Advisory Committee of the TAC. The TAC then prioritizes 10 road and bridge needs for our entire 10 counties, 5 bike and pedestrian needs. And we'll probably just do 5 multimodal needs this year as well. And we then take those top needs to the MoDOT district meeting. And that's always, well, in the past it's been October, we're sort of trying to follow a new timeline. So essentially we'll take that in October, and we will talk about our 10 counties. The other regional planning commissions in MoDOT's district, like I said, they have 21 counties. So there are Kinzinger Basin, which is based out of Clinton, Harrius Truman, which is based in Carl Junction. We are included, and then there's also a portion of the Belleville County.
That's Harrius Truman. Jaxo.
Jaxo is in Joplin. So Joplin has their MPO, but they're still considered rural. And then a portion of Northwest Arkansas's regional planning commission reaches into Missouri, so they actually get included as well. I couldn't remember which part they had. But so all of these groups come together with MoDOT, and we have a day-long workshop where we prioritize a district-wide list. So that's what this is last year's district-wide priorities. And so you'll see on the left-hand side, there's an ID number. Well, there's two ID numbers. The first one is ranking overall, 1 through 39. And then the second column, anything that's listed as an SM, that's us. So it's a SIMCOG. So that's our number one priority, our number two priorities, our number three priorities. So that's what those numbers mean, is how are they kind of shook out at our regional level last year. So essentially what I want to do with you guys is just make sure that we have your top three road and bridge needs nailed down. We make sure that the ones that you want me to take to the TAC, that you want Rick and Buddy to sort of kind of advocate for on your behalf, are the top three road and bridge needs for the county. And then we want to make sure we have 2 bike and pedestrian needs and 2 multimodal needs that we can at least discuss at a TAC level. It's important to know that just because they're on the list doesn't mean they're going to get funded. That's something we just make sure people are aware of. The expectations is this is really what gets it to the MoDOT level so that they know this is a priority. It also allows us to really help advocate for funding, maybe at the federal level, or if you apply for transportation alternative grants for bike and pedestrian projects. MoDOT's not really funding any new sidewalks. They'll replace sidewalks they currently have to bring them into ADA compliance, but they're not installing any new sidewalks. So if you have a community need or you have something you need, sidewalks or trails, your best option is to apply for a TAC grant, and those are every 2 years. And so if it scores really well at our level, that helps make the argument for funding that grant application. So that's really what the bike and pedestrian needs are. The road and bridge needs, though, you will see that a lot of times if it's a project that VODOT hasn't had on their radar, or they're just, they kind of know maybe there's a problem, but they